Good morning, I'm David Warnock, and welcome to Baltimore's Future. My guest today is Stephanie DeLuca, who is originally from Chicago, and she's an associate professor in the Department of Sociology at Johns Hopkins University, and I'm happy to say a big baseball fan. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So you're working on some extraordinarily interesting stuff, both in vocational education with respect to young people who don't attend college, as well as housing and neighborhoods. Talk a little bit about your housing policy research. That's probably a good place to start.
Okay. Well, if you'll indulge me, I might have to go back to 1966 before I was even born. When I was in graduate school in Chicago, I was lucky enough to show up at the right time, which was about 15 to 20 years after 7,000 families had a chance to leave Chicago's public housing and move to affluent, mostly white suburbs in the outlying counties. So I had a chance to see what happened to families who, by virtue of a desegregation lawsuit, had a chance at a better life. And so what happened is in the 1960s, Fair housing lawyers sued Chicago's Housing Authority and HUD for citing all of Chicago's public housing in its most highest poverty and segregated neighborhoods.
This was the old Cabrini Green.
The Cabrini Green, Robert Taylor, a whole host of the, you know, all the State Street corridor. And the lawyers took the case all the way to the Supreme Court, arguing a violation of the Fair Housing Act and a violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. So what happened is the Chicago Gautreaux Program was born as a remedy to this lawsuit. And the provision that came with the remedy was housing counseling that allowed poor families who had spent most of their lives in public housing a chance to move to, you know, more affluent suburbs with the best schools in the area. So essentially, families signed up. It was almost like a lottery, and got their name on a queue. And when their number came up, a housing counselor said, "We found an apartment for you out in DuPage County, or one of the north suburbs." And it was a natural experiment almost. And the New York Times had hailed it as nothing short of a new underground railroad. It was a really profound experience, this natural experiment that never started out as a study. It was the remedy of a civil rights lawsuit.
And what was the long-term outcome of it?
So when I came on board, like I said, families had started moving in 1976. So it was 15 to 20 years later. What I found over the course of my work in graduate school and then in my early years here at Hopkins was that most families stayed in these neighborhoods over the long run. Critics suspected that poor families of color would move right back to the inner city once they had a chance, and no one would stay in neighborhoods where they were, in some cases, the first black family on the block. But instead, the majority of these families, 15 to 20 years later, were still living in low poverty, racially mixed neighborhoods. We know that their children experienced a radical improvement in school quality. And we know that for some of the women who moved to the suburbs, there was a reduction in welfare use and increased employment and earnings as well. So some additional work colleagues of mine have done suggested that the children, when they were adults, also ended up living in more racially integrated neighborhoods.
So thank you for joining me.
Thanks
today.
For having me.
For more of this interview, visit www.warnockfoundation.org or wypr.org. Baltimore's Future is produced by the Warnock Foundation for WYPR. For the Warnock Foundation, I'm David Warnock.